ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 5 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डेमिगॉड्स अपील टू द लॉर्ड टेक्स्ट नंबर 29 ययेक वर्णम तमस परम तद अलोकमव्यक्तमनंत पारम आसाम चकारो पशुपर्णमेनम उपासते योगरतेन धीरा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड is situated in pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, and therefore he is Ekavarna, the Omkara, Pranava. Because the Lord is beyond the cosmic manifestation, which is considered to be darkness, he is not visible to material eyes. Nonetheless, he is not separated from us by time or space, but is present everywhere. Seated on his carrier Garuda, he is worshipped by means of mystical yogic power by those who have achieved freedom from agitation. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. In this material world, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, prevail. Among these three, goodness is the platform of knowledge, and passion brings about a mixture of knowledge and ignorance. But the mode of ignorance is full of darkness. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond darkness and passion. He is on the platform where goodness or knowledge is not disturbed by passion and ignorance. This is called the Vasudeva platform. It is on this platform of Vasudeva that Vasudev or Krishna can appear. Thus Krishna appeared on this planet as the son of Vasudev. Because the Lord is situated beyond the three modes of material nature, he is unseen by those who are dominated by these three modes. One must therefore become dhira or undisturbed by the modes of material nature. The process of yoga may be practiced by one who is free from the agitation of these modes. Therefore, yoga is defined in this way. Yoga indriya samyama. As previously explained, we are disturbed by the indriyas or senses. Moreover, we are agitated by the three modes of material nature which are imposed upon us by the external energy. In conditional life, the living entity moves turbulently in the whirlpool of birth and death. But when one is situated on the transcendental platform of Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits on the back of Garuda. Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri, first of all, I would like to seek my blessings. Srila Prabhupada disciple, His Grace Vyasaki Prabhu, and also I would like to seek the blessings of other devotees in order to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we are reading from this 8th canto chapter 5. In these verses, Lord Brahma is offering his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you have a brief background of this particular chapter. The story starts like this. The demigods headed by Lord Indra, he actually offended Durvasa Muni. And because they offended Durvasa Muni, Durvasa Muni cursed the demigods. Then all the demigods lost their power, opulence, etc. So then all the demigods were captured by demons and they were almost in a helpless situation. So then they approached Lord Brahma in order to find a solution, in order to find a solution as to how to mitigate their problems. So then Lord Brahma actually takes them, Lord Brahma offers prayers to the Supreme Lord so that to take guidance from the Supreme Lord as to how to mitigate the distress of demigods. So before actually Lord Brahma, it is very interesting that how Lord Brahma is approaching the Supreme Lord in order to find a solution for the problems, but then first he is actually glorifying the Supreme Lord in different verses. So in the Vedic culture, the etiquette is that even when we approach a Supreme Lord or a great devotee, we do not immediately express our problem, but we first offer our prayers and we glorify the Supreme Lord and the devotees. Then we express our fallen condition, then we actually offer our prayers. Like there is one interesting verse in the first canto, when Ashwatthama killed the five sleeping sons of the Pandavas, so the Pandavas, they became very angry. In fact, Draupadi was in so much distress. So then immediately Arjuna starts chasing after Ashwatthama. When he came to know that Ashwatthama has only killed the five sleeping sons. So when he chases after Ashwatthama, he was so afraid that he actually released the ultimate weapon, Brahmastra. Because he was so much afraid that he released the ultimate weapon in the very beginning. So then when he released the Brahmastra, it created such intense heat all over the place that Arjuna could not understand what is happening. So there was so much effulgence all over the place. It is described that Brahmastra is such a powerful weapon, many hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than the sun planet. It will create such intense heat, more than the sun planet. So Arjuna was so much bewildered, he could not understand what is happening. So then Arjuna actually approaches the Supreme Lord to find out what actually is happening. So then when he approaches the Supreme Lord, Arjuna first glorifies the Supreme Lord. Krishna was the chariot driver. Then Arjuna asked the question, please tell me what is actually happening here. So there in the connection, Prabhupada writes that Arjuna, as a pure devotee of the Lord, he is showing everyone that how to approach the Supreme Lord, what etiquette one should approach, what etiquette one should follow. That first one should glorify the Supreme Lord, then one should actually find one's problem is, one should express that. So here it is interesting that Arjuna was in a very dangerous situation. But even in that dangerous situation, that Arjuna, first he actually glorifies the Supreme Lord, then he asks the Supreme Lord as to what actually what is happening there. So, when I read that verse, it was very striking to me, because many times, when we come in front of the devotees or when we come in front of the deities, certainly in our case, there is nobody who is actually keeping a gun at our head, threatening us, oh, I am going to kill you. So how much more it is important that when we come in front of the deities, that first we should express our gratitude or thank or glorify the deities before we express our problems. When Arjuna actually observed this etiquette, even when he was in a greatest danger, even in that situation, first he glorified the Supreme Lord. Then only he asked the Supreme Lord as to what is happening. So then how much more it applies in our case. So here also, Lord Brahma is actually glorifying the Supreme Lord. He is saying that the Supreme Lord is situated in pure goodness. And therefore he is Eka Varna, the Omkara. Because the Supreme Lord is beyond the cosmic manifestation, which is considered to be darkness, is not visible to the material eyes. So in these verses, Lord Brahma is actually talking about the greatness of the Supreme Lord. How the Supreme Lord is beyond the material manifestation. He is completely beyond the three modes of material nature. And he is not separated from us by time or space. So, in these verses, Lord Brahma is actually glorifying the greatness of the Supreme Lord. So, if we want our devotional service to be steady towards the Supreme Lord, we should understand the characteristics of the Supreme Lord. We should understand the greatness of the Supreme Lord. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is such a scripture that it talks about the greatness of the Supreme Lord, and also it also talks about the sweetness of the Supreme Lord. In most other religions of the world, they mainly talk about how Lord is great. People say that God is great, but then Prabhupada would say, but then do you know how great God is? Although most other religions, they have conception of God, they may know that God is great, but then they may not know how great God is. So Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they give conception how God is great. But then it goes one step further. It also talks about the sweetness of the Supreme Lord. So we will see some few examples according to the time as to how Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the greatness and the sweetness of the Supreme Lord. So in the very first canto, first chapter, the sages of Naimisharanya, they ask a question to Suta Goswami. They say, please narrate about the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The pastimes of the Supreme Lord are magnificent and gracious. So usually, when we hear of a great person in this world, say a big billionaire or a big president of a country, we mainly think about the greatness of the person. But then, suppose if a big billionaire, if he is doing some food for life, if he is serving food to some slum area, in the slum areas to the poor people, then people will be more, they will be even more astonished. It will be, this news will be there in the first page of all the newspapers. Oh, this billionaire distributed food in this particular slum, and they will put a photo and then this thing. So, but we very rarely find a big billionaire, a big president doing some kind of activity which is like gracious. But then, the Supreme Lord's activities are magnificent. That means it is extraordinary, but at the same time, it is full of grace. So there is one example in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Uddhava, when he remembers about the Supreme Lord, Uddhava says, Tataiva chanye naraloka vira, ya ahave Krishna padaravindam, netrai pibanto nayanabhiramam, parthastra putai padamapurasya. Uddhava is saying that in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the enemies on the side of the Kauravas, the enemies of the Pandavas, when they actually left their body by seeing the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, by drinking the nectar and beauty of the form of Lord Krishna, and being purified by the arrows released by the Arjuna, so all these soldiers on the side of the Kauravas, they actually attained liberation, they went back to garden. So in this verse, Uddhava is telling that how merciful the Lord is. Krishna is so merciful that the enemies were fighting against Lord Krishna, Krishna actually gave liberation to all of them. And did they have to endeavor something to achieve liberation? No, they just had to see the beautiful face of the Lord Krishna before death. Just by seeing the form of Lord Krishna, and then when they left their body, they achieved liberation. So this is the merciful aspect of the Supreme Lord. Usually, when we hear a person who is very mild and merciful, so we think of a person like something like Mother Teresa, who is like very mild, who is like merciful, and who did so much welfare activities to so many people. So one may think, oh, such a person will not have much power. And a person is very merciful, sometimes people say, oh, because he does not have much power, he does not have anything to enjoy, so he's like very merciful to others. But then, immediately in the next verse, after this verse, Uddhava is saying, Swayam Tvasamya Tishaya Sradisha Swarajya Lakshmiapta Samasta Kama. Uddhava is saying, but the same Lord Krishna, Swayam Tvasamya Tishaya Sradisha, he is the master of trees. Tradisha, he is the master of trees. What are the trees? He is the master of goodness, passion and ignorance. He is the master of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Karanodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And he is the master of Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. In this way, Uddhava is talking about the greatness of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada says, Krishna is not only mild and merciful, but then he is also supremely great. He is the master of all the three great personalities. He is the master of three modes of material nature. Swarajya Lakshmi Apta Samasta Kama. He is supremely independent. Like, he is the possessor of the goddess of fortune. So usually sometimes, when a person is very rich, we may say that, oh, goddess of fortune is very merciful upon him. But then Krishna is not opulent because of the goddess, not because of the goddess of fortune. Krishna is supremely independently opulent. So goddess of fortune is actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. It's not that goddess of fortune is showing mercy to the Supreme Lord. No, goddess of fortune is dependent on the Supreme Lord. And then Uddhava is saying, Balim Haradbis Chiraloka Palai. The eternal maintainers of creation, they offer their innumerable gifts to the Supreme Lord by bowing down to the Supreme Lord Krishna with their millions of helmets. They bow down to the Lord Krishna with their helmets. So in this way, Uddhava is saying that how the Lord is mild and merciful, but he is also supremely great. Then in the another verse, again in the same chapter in the third canto, when Uddhava remembers, Yaddharma Sunor Bhata Rajasuye Nirikshya Drik Swastyayanam Triloka. Uddhava talks about the beauty of the Supreme Lord. He says, in the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Yudhishthira Maharaj, all the demigods from all the three planetary systems came there. So when they actually saw the form of Lord Krishna, what was their conclusion? Nirikshya Drik Swastyayanam Triloka. Their conclusion is that this personality, this form of Lord Krishna is a sum total of all beauty. So all the mystery universes from all over the universe, their conclusion is that Krishna is the Mr. Beautiful of the entire creation. Krishna's form is the sum total of all beauty. And then they were wondering that, they were thinking that he is the most dexterous creation of Lord Brahma. But then little did they know that actually he is the creator of Lord Brahma. So in the Rajasuya sacrifice, the conclusion of everyone from all the demigods from all the planetary systems, their conclusion was that Krishna's form is the sum total of all beauty. So they experience the greatness of the Supreme Lord in terms of by experiencing his beauty. usually when we hear about a beautiful person in this world, a beautiful actor or actress, so all the magazines, they are like, they talk about such beautiful celebrities. But then such beautiful persons, they may not seem to be engaged in some menial activities. But in the same Rajasaya sacrifice, all the demigods who experience the beautiful beauty of the Supreme Lord, they also experience another feature of the Supreme Lord. What was that feature? The service which was rendered by Lord Krishna in the Rajasaya sacrifice was, he was actually washing the feet of all the guests who came to the Rajasaya sacrifice. He was engaged in the most menial service in the Rajasaya sacrifice. Usually when a big actor or actress, when she is engaged in some menial service, it will be there, it will be talked all over the place. But then such things may not happen. But then Krishna is not only supremely beautiful, but then he actually, his sweetness is that he was engaged in the most menial service of washing the feet of all the guests. Then another example of Krishna's greatness and sweetness is there in the 10th canto. In the 10th canto, in the when Sukadeva Goswami narrates about the kidnapping of Rukmini, in the beginning of the chapter, Sukadeva Goswami talks about the nature of Krishna Katha. He compares the Krishna Katha to a powerful medicine. So usually when we think of a medicine, when we actually hear about a powerful medicine, like for example, a powerful Ayurvedic medicine, it means like, usually a powerful Ayurvedic medicine means it will be very bitter in taste. Usually a medicine which is very powerful, it means like it may be bitter in taste, or it may cause some vomiting sensation, or when you take the medicine, a powerful antibiotic or something, it will also cause lot of weakness, or when you are having a severe pain, when you take a very severe painkiller, your pain may go, but then you may sleep for 14 hours. So usually when we hear of a powerful medicine, it also causes so much of inconvenience. It is either bitter in taste, or it is like it causes other problems. But then, the Krishna Katha, this medicine of Krishna Katha, it is a very powerful and effective medicine, but not only that, it is also a very sweet medicine. Sweet medicine, like usually, when we hear, like nowadays, the medicine tablets may be sweet coated, it may be coated sweet, but then still, although it may be coated with like some sweet chemicals, still nobody likes to take the tablet. Oh, every day it's so sweet, I will take every day. Nobody feels like that, because it also causes so many other effects. But then the nature of Krishna Katha is, it is effective and also it is very sweet. So in this way, the Krishna Katha is also great and sweet. Another example is of Lord Narsingadev. Like every day we sing this Narsingharti, in that we sing, Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam Adbhuta Shringam. So here we actually sing of the glorious pastime of Narsingadev killing Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu was such a powerful demon, he had a benediction that he could not be killed by any weapon. So Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu with his nails. So Hiranyakashipu was such a powerful demon that if Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu with his nails, that means one can understand that how powerful his nails are. And especially in a nail, like the tip of the nail is the most powerful part. It is like very sharp. Even when sometimes when our nail, if you have a sharp nail, if it sometimes by mistake, if it scratches or this thing, we get some blood. The tip of the nail is the most powerful. But then, in this verse, it is actually, Narsingadev's hands are compared to a lotus flower. Tavakara Kamalavare. So nursing, they killed Hiranyakashipu with his hands, but then his hands are compared to a lotus flower, which is like very soft. And in the lotus flower, especially the tip of the lotus flower, that is the softest portion of the lotus flower. And Narsingdev's tip of the nails is compared to the softest portion of the lotus flower. So in this way, we can see the Lord is so great that he could kill Hiranyakashipu with his nails. But not only that, but the same Supreme Lord to his devotees is actually very sweet. That is why Narsingdev's nails are compared to the tip of the lotus flower, which is the softest portion. Another example is that not only Krishna is great and sweet, but even his devotees are great and sweet. So there is one example in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Prithu Maharaj. The example comes in the fourth canto. It's a very beautiful verse. It is explained about, this verse explains about the qualities of Prithu Maharaj. They explained, Prithu Maharaj exhibited all good qualities. In spiritual knowledge, he was exactly like Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the guru of all the demigods. Prithu Maharaj was such a great personality. In spiritual knowledge, he was as great as Brihaspati. So Prithu Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that usually, sometimes when people think, when people hear about devotee means somebody who is like less intelligent, maybe because he does not have any goals in his life, he does not have much abilities, maybe that is why he has taken to spiritual life. One may think like that. But then, Prithu Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord, but then he is supremely knowledgeable. He was so great in logic and wisdom that he could defeat anyone by logic and argument. That is why he is compared to Brihaspati. He was as great as Brihaspati in spiritual knowledge. He was such a great scholarly devotee. But then, usually, when we hear of great scholarly people, but such people, like they may not be very submissive to others. Is the nature of the scholarship is scholarship and submissiveness go ill together. Many universities, like many professors, they may be well versed in the Vedic scriptures, but then they may be having discussions on the sandarbhas of the Goswamis in a whiskey table. They may be very proud. So usually somebody is very scholarly, they may not be submissive to others. But then Prithu Maharaj is explained in the very same verse. It is explained, Prithu Maharaj, as far as his devotional service was concerned, he was a great follower of devotees who were attached to cow protection and the rendering of all service to the spiritual master and the brahmanas. So Prithu Maharaj was not only was a great scholar, but then he was very much attached to the devotees. He was following in the footsteps of brahmanas. He was following in the footsteps of his own spiritual master, other devotees. So Prithu Maharaj had scholarship and also submissiveness, which is a very rare combination. Prithu Maharaj's scholarship is like a greatness of Prithu Maharaj, but his quality of submissiveness is like a sweetness of Prithu Maharaj. In this way, we can understand even the devotees of the Supreme Lord are great and sweet. Lastly, we see this example of Srimad Bhagavatam. So devotees are great and sweet, but even the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam is great and sweet. So in the very second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he talks about the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the second verse it is said, Sadyo hrid avarudya detra kritibhi susru subhish takshanat. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a great scripture that when a person gives oral reception to the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes captured in the heart of such a devotee. And what is the nature of the Supreme Lord? That is described in the first verse. He is the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation. He is the direct and indirect cause of everything. And he is the one who gave knowledge to Lord Brahma. And he is such a great person that even great sages are bewildered about the Supreme Lord. So that is the greatness of the Supreme Lord, which is described in the first verse. What is absolute truth? But in the second verse talks about the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a great scripture that when accomplished devotees, when they give oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord becomes captured and controlled by such a devotee. But not only Supreme Lord becomes captured and controlled by accomplished devotees who hear Srimad Bhagavatam, even those people who just begin to, who develop a desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, who simply begin to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That means a person who is a beginner in the Krishna consciousness, who may just develop a desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, even such a person, if he is sincere, he can actually capture and control the Supreme Lord if he simply gives oral reception to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this talks about the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. But then the next verse, the third verse, talks about the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam. It is described, the Vedic scriptures, the Vedas are like the desire fulfilling tree. Whatever desire you may have, all those desires can be fulfilled. The directions for fulfilling those desires are given in the Vedic scriptures. So that is the nature of Vedic literatures. But then, Srimad Bhagavatam is the matured fruit of the tree of the Vedas. Matured fruit of the tree of the Vedas. And what is the nature of this fruit? Usually when we hear of a fruit, although a fruit may be very sweet, but then fruit will also have some inferior nature. That means it has some seed. And it also has some skin. Sometimes you cannot eat the skin. A pineapple may be very sweet, but then you have to peel the skin. It's an elaborate process. Like a peru may be good fruit, but then not everyone can eat. Somebody who does not have teeth, they cannot eat peru. Like a pomegranate may be very good fruit, but then you have to cut it and then you have to remove all the fruit. It's a laborious process. Your fruit may have inferior nature in the form of a skin or seed. But then, this fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam is so not only sweet, but then it does not have any inferior characteristics of other fruits. That means it is simply sweet. It has no seed, it has no skin. It is simply sweet. And it is such a fruit that even if suppose somebody does not have teeth, still he can eat. In the sense that it is like a liquid fruit. It is completely liquid, liquid nectar. So that is how the Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a fruit. So the second verse talks about the greatness of the Bhagavatam. The third verse talks about the sweetness of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I will just quickly summarize. So in this verses, today we just talked about the greatness and the sweetness of the Supreme Lord. How we said how the Lord is very mild and merciful, but at the same time, he is the master of all three great personalities. And then we talked about how the Supreme Lord's beauty is the sum total of all beauty. At the same time, he was engaged in menial service. And Krishna Katha is so powerful, it is an effective medicine and also it is a sweet medicine. And we talked about Narsingadev's hands, how it is compared to a lotus flower. And we also talked about how the devotees of the Supreme Lord, they also have this characteristic of greatness and sweetness. And finally we talked about the greatness and sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam. See if there's any comments or corrections, so Swayasakhi Prabhu can present some. I'll stop here. How did he communicate with Allah? He was offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So it is said that Lord Brahma did not see, the Supreme Lord was not present. He was offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So basically, it is like a heart-to-heart communication. So Supreme Lord, when a person offers sincere prayers to the Supreme Lord from his heart, so Supreme Lord reciprocates with the Lord, devotee's prayer, and then he actually gives necessary information whatever the devotee needs to know. So in the beginning of creation also, Lord Brahma performed austerities, and although he could not see the Supreme Lord, but then Lord Brahma revealed from within, you perform as revealed the knowledge. And then he actually revealed his form, and then he gave the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. So basically, he offered sincere prayers from the heart. So through his heart, he actually communicated to the Supreme Lord. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.